So this is case 121 from the record of Xiao Shou. The master instructed the assembly saying, "The Dragon King's daughter paid her personal homage to the Buddha from her heart. It was a completely natural act." A monk asked, "If it was natural, why was there any paying homage?" The master said, "If there was no paying homage, how could it be natural?" Please sit comfortably. Well, let me please first express my deep gratitude for letting me join the Senkai and giving me the pleasure and honor to deliver some words. So here we are again with the great fortune of visiting the old Buddha, as Master Dogen called Xiao Shou. And as I said, this great fortune is because the path to his place is also the path to our own place. Unfortunately, however, for many people, this path is not too traveled, so the grasses grow quite tall, and the way is sometimes hard to see. But fortunately, not for us here on this Senkai. Perhaps we could start our journey to Xiaoshou's place by examining the references that are being made. In some cases, it proves to be helpful in our understanding of the case to do so. Many times, a case presents only the core interaction between the participants, in which self-nature is directly presented, but leaves aside the context and references being made, probably out of being obvious and known for the people involved at that time. In this case, maybe Xiao Shou had been giving Teisho on the Lotus Sutra or a section of it. And this case is part of the Mondo, the teacher-student exchange that happened after it. So our present case alludes to the Dragon King's daughter. Dragon or serpent is the usual translation of the Pali and Sanskrit word naga. In the Buddhist tradition, nagas are non-human beings that inhabit bodies of water and have an underwater kingdom filled with magnificent palaces. Nagas are thought to be protectors and seekers of the Buddha's teachings. We can find a well-known story that relates how the Buddha, some days after his awakening experience, seeing the morning star, and still sitting under the Bodhi tree, was visited by Musilinda, the king of the Nagas, who took the form of a seven-headed serpent and placed himself on top of the Buddha to protect him from a storm that was coming. Chapter 12 of the Lotus Sutra is titled Devadatta and presents two fundamental stories for the whole sutra that are somewhat independent, but that get connected through a question being asked to the Buddha. The first story, which I won't address in this talk, shows how the Buddha was teaching to the great assembly about his intimate and fortunate relationship with Devadatta, who was, to say the least, very hostile towards the Buddha in his time. The second story in this chapter is directly related to our present case and arises as a suggestion from the Buddha to the Bodhisattva Accumulated Wisdom, who asked, If the assembly could be dismissed at the end of his Devadatta exposition, the Buddha suggested everyone to wait for Manjushri to emerge from the ocean where he has been teaching the Lotus Sutra at the palace of Sagara, the king of the Nagas, in the bottom of the ocean, of the great ocean, so that people could have a chance to debate and discuss the Dharma with him. In the Dharma dialogue with Manjushri, the Bodhisattva wisdom accumulated asked him if there was among his many listeners in the Nagas kingdom anyone who was able to attain enlightenment quickly. Manjushri replied affirmatively and expressed that the daughter of the king Sagara, who had just turned 8, had ably attained enlightenment. The Bodhisattva expressed his skepticism, mentioning that even the Buddha had to carry his impeccable practice for immeasurable kalpas to finally attain Buddhahood. I cannot believe that this little girl has had the same attainment in just a few moments, he said. At this point, the Dragon King's daughter suddenly appeared before the Buddha, bowed her head in obeisance, and then retired to one side. Then Shariputra, who was also at that assembly, confronted directly the young girl, expressing that he could not believe that she has had attained the unsurpassed way in such a short time. Because, he said, a woman's body is soiled and defiled, and therefore is not a vessel for the law. The Mahayana Sutras are very often tough with our dear friend Shariputra when trying to make a point. But here comes the part of the story that is related with our present case. Hearing Shariputra's words, the dragon girl brought a precious jewel worth as much as the major world system, which she presented to the Buddha. The Buddha immediately accepted it. The dragon girl said to the Bodhisattva wisdom accumulated and to the venerable one Shariputra, "I presented the precious jewel, and the world-honored one accepted it. Was that not quickly done?" They replied, "Very quickly." The girl said, "Employ your supernatural powers and watch me attain Buddhahood. It will be even quicker than that." So the young girl transformed, and the whole assembly saw the dragon girl become a Buddha and preach the Dharma to all the human and heavenly beings in the assembly at that time. Their hearts were filled with great joy, and all from a distance paid reverent obeisance. Now let us go back to our present case. Maybe after learning this very interesting story, we find a new light to it. The master instructed the assembly, saying, "The Dragon King's daughter paid her personal homage to the Buddha from her heart. It was a completely natural act." A monk asked, "If it was natural, why was there any paying homage?" The master said, "If there was no paying homage, how could it be natural?" Now we know that the personal homage to the Buddha that Xiaoshou refers to from this little girl was the offering of a precious jewel worth as much as the major world system. What a marvelous gift, isn't it? How do you see such a jewel looks like? How could an 8-year-old child could have in her possession such a jewel and offer it? Zen Master Xuefeng gives us a hint in case number 5 from the Blue Cliff Record. Xuefeng addressed his assembly saying, "When I pick it up in my fingers, this great earth is the size of a grain of millet. I cast it down before you. You black lacquer tubes don't understand. Beat the drum and get everyone to search." Although the case doesn't say it explicitly, I can see how Xuefeng remained in silence for a while, alert for someone to come forth after casting the great earth before them. Apparently, however, he was met by silence. No one in Xuefeng's audience could see the great earth itself in the size of a grain of millet. So he urges them to go and search for it. When the dragon girl casted the major world system in the size of a jewel before the Buddha, there was no doubt in his mind. He immediately accepted it. Living in our own dream, we see only a grain of millet. But after awakening, the empty illusory body is the very body of the Dharma. This is one way to offer a jewel worth a major world system. Another way is presented by Xiaoshou on case 88 from the same record. Following the same thread of inferences that I have made, it seems feasible to think that this case came from the same mondo after Teisho than the one we are considering for this talk. And maybe it's another monk, or even the same monk at play. Anyway, again, Master Xiaoshou pointed him and us in the right direction. This is the case. A monk asked, "The Dragon King's daughter paid her personal homage to the Buddha. It's not clear to me, how did she pay homage?" The master pressed his hands together in the attitude of paying homage. That's it. That's it. Not only a major world system, but the whole universe is offered right there. But setting aside the offering and its incalculable value, Xiaoshou declares that such act was completely natural. Nelson Foster, in his book, Storehouse of Treasures, states that the two Chinese characters that are usually translated as spontaneous or natural, as in this particular case, correspond to the term siran. Siran literally means, and I'm using Nelson's translation, self-sow. So of itself, or on its own. It refers to how things effortlessly take place. The spring follows winter, and autumn follows summer without any effort on nobody's part. So the monk in our case is drawing a conclusion. If the act was utterly self-so on its own, if the relationship is so intimate and natural, like two petals from the same blossom, then paying homage has no place. Towering waves sweep near and far, their foam floating the heavens. What sense is there in paying homage? A good conclusion, you might agree. But this unmoving monk still has to learn the real meaning of nothing to do. As Yang Yuan clearly shows on case 55 from the Blue Cliff Record. For this talk, I will only present the last segment of the case that could probably stand alone as an independent case. Suffice to say that the master these both worthies are talking about is Dao Wu, which had recently passed in the first segment of the case. And Jian Yuan is coming to pay homage to his teacher. One day, Jian Yuan appeared in the Dharma hall carrying a mattock and walked from east to west and from west to east. Xixuan asked, "What are you doing?" Jian Yuan said, "I am seeking the sacred bones of our late master." Xixuan said, "Towering waves sweep near and far, their foam floating the heavens. What bones of our late master are you searching for?" Jian Yuan said, "Just the place to make an effort." Fu of Taiyuan said, "The sacred bones of our late master still exist." I could even say, with these words, that not only the relics, but Dao Wu's flesh was still warm. Another translation rendered Jin Yuan's words as, "It is good for my practice," which I think gets the point too. But we have to be very careful not to carry a sense of deliberately doing something to attain something, which is not the way of Siran, of being self-so. Just the place to make an effort is to take a step from the top of a 100-foot pole to realize worlds in the 10 directions as your very own body. But you may ask, and I ask, is everybody exercising their spiritual powers at all times when holding their hands in gassho and bowing in the attitude of paying homage? And what about in daily life? Is it not a place to make an effort, taking the dog for a walk? Or a mother doing the 10,000 things she needs to do to send the kids to school? What would you say then? Again, we can find good and clear instruction on this matter in Yunyan's response, when he was pick and poke with a challenging questioning by his Dharma brother Dao Wu. Yunjian clearly shows us how taking up the dishcloth, picking up the vacuum cleaner, driving for work, picking up the kids from school, or brewing tea can be a personal homage to the Buddha from your very own heart. Take a look. Yunjian was boiling some tea. Dao Wu asked who he was making it for. Yunjian answered, "Nobody special." Dao Wu said, "Why doesn't he go make it for himself?" Yunjian said, "It's a good thing that I am here." It's a good thing that I am here is the way of Ziran, the way of nothing to do, and at the very same time, nothing is left undone. It's a good thing that I am here is the Buddha himself coming forth as Yunjian boiling some tea. Right now, is the Buddha herself coming forth as you, listening to these words? So, if there was no paying homage, if there was no coming forth, how could it be natural? Thank you.